We got D. Mitchell, number 45, coming to the Raptors. Superstar. Oh. Wait. Wait, oh, one? No, it's Davion.
Fuck, man.
Well, that's the podcast. I thought we had Donovan Mitchell. This was a surprise Donovan Mitchell podcast.
Yeah, we weren't even supposed to record.
I was just going to be like, oh, sick, we got Donovan. But if that's not happening, then I guess we can't do the podcast today. This has been Game 6. Thank you.
Do you think this closes the window for Donovan? Because, he might not... because his number's taken.
Yeah, I think that's it. And the name on the back of the jersey.
Right.
You won't even have to put the first initial. You have to put the first two, letters of the first name on there. That's crazy. But I remember... because Davion wasn't number 45 when he was in Sacramento. I think he was 15. But when he was in college, he was number 45. Right. And I remember seeing, D. Mitchell, 45. That's funny.
Was it taken in Sacramento, or did you just?
I think you just switched it.
Okay,
maybe it was going back. Maybe it was taken in college. We don't know.
Maybe 15.
Do
we have a 15 on the Raptors? You're better with the numbers.
Do we have a 15 on the Raptors? I don't think we do, to my knowledge.
Anyways, that's the least important trade.
Yeah, we got all the teams. We're going to say if we thought they got better or worse. And we're going to talk about the big stuff. We'll talk about a lot. And the little stuff we'll talk about a little.
Yeah. It's generally organized by if we talk about a team that made a deal with a team, we'll probably talk about the other team right away, but not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. We'll start with the Raptors, where we really don't need to talk about Sacramento right now because this trade, it doesn't mean that much. But the Raptors are the boys. We traded Jalen McDaniels. We got a second in this year's draft, plus a future second, and Davion Mitchell and Sasha Vezenkov, who may or may not get cut and sent to Greece. who cares? My thoughts on this trade is Jalen McDaniels sucks at basketball.
Yeah.
Pretty much a zero. And even the fact, if we just got a second this year and a second in the future, that would be nice. But I also have, a very minimal amount of Davion Mitchell stock in that I think in bench units, he can uplift our defense marginally in ways that Javon Freeman Liberty, as our main guard off the bench last year, couldn't.
Yeah, he has, low potential, but that's still potential.
Yeah, he's better than, think about some of the dudes who are the low minute getters on our team. I think he's better than Ochai Agbaji.
Right.
Or, what Jordan Noir gave us last year. Or Jalen McDaniels. And so, you know what? I'll take it. And, having a dog on defense is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Also, not on here because I don't have re-signed players on here, but Garrett Temple re-signed with Raptors, and that makes me very happy because everything that you hear about him, good guy.
Yeah.
Good relationship with players.
He could have retired, and it would have been like... Yeah. No one would have been surprised.
Yeah, for sure. It's the Udonis Haslam role. But well-dressed. He's always got a nice suit on. All the young players have good stuff to say about him.
Yeah.
He's well-respected within the league. So I'm very happy that that's our... I would rather
He's also second, the vice president of the Players Union. Is that right?
Yeah, I think he is. To CJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is not to dunk on him twice or this early in the podcast, but for a 15th roster spot, I'd much rather have a Garrett Temple than a Javon Freeman Liberty kind of player. somebody who's a G League plus, a G League star, but not really an NBA player. I'd much rather just have an NBA vet, especially when we have a young team to kind of, just be a locker room guy. And yeah, I like Garrett Temple. I'm happy that he's back. And as for the Raptors.
You sound more excited about Garrett Temple than off night.
See I'm more excited vibes wise for Garrett Temple, but did you hear me once talk about what Garrett Temple's gonna do on the court for us?
No.
And as for whether I think the Raptors will be better or worse this year, I think they will be slightly better because I think Barnes being hurt at the end of last year and Pirtle being hurt a lot last year and Barrett having personal issues and Quickly having personal issues and half of our roster.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about the Barrett stuff. He had to deal with a lot.
Yeah, and half of our roster got overhauled mid-season. I think just having a full season, unless we decide to tank at the end of the season like we did last year.
Which is very possible because now we guaranteed out our pick.
Yeah, for sure. But if we're in the play-in race, I don't think we need a tank for a high pick. The problem this year is there's going to be a lot of teams who want to be very bad. So I feel like even if we tank, we're not going to get worse than let's say a Brooklyn or a Washington or a Detroit or a Charlotte. Those kinds of teams are going to be Utah once they trademark it. Those teams are going to be ass.
And also you can still get a good pick. Atlanta wasn't that bad last year.
No, they were not. And they got the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm. New Orleans wasn't that bad in the Zion year.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard that this is like a 4 or 5 player draft. Even though the guy at Cooper Flagg is like the big dude, I've heard that there's a lot of guys to be had.
Oh, okay.
So, you know.
Yeah, I know. I've heard good things about the draft. Not anything too specific other than Flagg.
But my guess would be the Raptors are better this year. To the reigning champions, Boston Celtics. They haven't done anything yet. The one thing that we do need to talk about is apparently they're getting sold, which is crazy to me.
I know.
That's wild. Like, win a championship and then get sold. But they're going to be very expensive.
They say sell high.
Yeah, for sure. Tatum, most expensive guy in basketball. Deserved. I guess not in the sense that he is the best player in basketball, but like most expensive guy in basketball is the most stupid thing that gets talked about every single year, where it's like, oh, this guy's the highest paid player. It's really just about how your contract lines up and who's been with their team the longest.
Like, I'm telling you right now, next year, Luka will be the highest paid player in basketball, and the year after, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will be the highest paid player in basketball, just because they're staying on their same teams. They're going to have the All-NBA to get the Supermax, and they're going to get the Supermax.
Yeah, it's just how it works. That's just the way the NBA is. And like they re-signed Derek White to a longer contract.
Yeah.
So they got everyone under contract for a while.
Because White got extended, I know Boston, they offered him as much as they could offer. If he just becomes a free agent, teams can offer whatever money, right? Like it's not at all based off their previous salary, or it is. Not like literally whatever money.
Yeah. If he becomes a UFA, anybody can offer anything.
That seems. I mean, good for Boston to keep him. But I feel like from his perspective, like if I was in his camp, I'd be like, you could get way more money. Like I think some teams would really throw a lot at him. I think you could get like an OG type of back.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I would take a bit of a discount to win as well.
That's true. Like he's young too. So
yeah. Like with the way that this core is locked up and like later. How good they are, they could three-peat.
Right.
So, I understand. I do agree. I think he would get paid, because I think it's like $32, $33 million per.
Yeah, which is like pretty good fucking money.
Yeah, I think he'd get paid like $10 million more than that if he were to hit the open market.
Yeah, and I guess it's worth to him. He's already got probably shit set up in Boston, his own life and stuff.
For sure.
I get that.
And like, saves a lot of money on hair products, too.
He might have some beard oil.
facts. I think Boston's going to be a little bit worse this year because they were... this next year because they were extremely good last year. This is just regular season.
Yeah, of course.
And they're going to miss Porzingis for more than half the year. He got knee surgery. He's going to be out for six to 8 months.
Okay.
Starting now. So he'll be back in the new year next year,
mm-hmm.
Which is tough because I don't... Well, like, whatever, who cares, because they've got so much talent. But, like, Horford playing over 30 minutes a night at his age is, like, not fantastic. So, yeah. I wonder what they're going to do center-wise. Because I don't think that Tillman or Cornette has been re-signed, so they just don't have another center.
Okay.
And, like, they could replace either of those dudes. Like, it's Luke Cornette.
Did Tice get a new contract? I feel like Tice always ends up in Boston.
Yeah, goes back. Yeah. Maybe Tice could go there. Who knows? But, yeah. Boston, not that exciting.
But, like, yeah, a little worse. But, like, basically, I expect them to be as good. Like,
yeah.
Fighting for, if not, the top's record in the NBA, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't think... And, like, we'll get to other teams in the East, and they play a part in this eventually. But I don't think that they're going to be, like, what were they, 12 games, 13 games clear last year? I think it'll be more like... I think they'll be 4 or 5 games clear, but I think that they'll, you know...
Mm-hmm.
A bit of regression, but that's fine because they were so good this year. On to the New York.
Like, looking, this team could, that you're about to mention, could be the number one team in the East.
Facts. Back to the Toronto Raptors. No, I'm kidding. On to the New York Knicks. We already talked about the whole Bridges trade. The one thing we didn't talk about is Hartenstein left.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we'll talk about the OKC side of it with OKC, but for New York, that sucks. Like,
he was great.
And, like, Robinson is way too much of an injury concern for him to be the only real center on your roster. So it kind of means that they need to re-sign Precious, because you kind of need another, like, decent center. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to get, like, a kind of bad backup center to just 2 minutes. Robinson's going to miss 20 games. I'm just going to say that right now. Robinson is going to miss at least 15 games. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, that's a blessing from the Lord. But you should plan for it. Like,
yeah. I mean, if he doesn't, like, he's probably better than Hartenstein. But like,
yeah, for sure.
But he's not. He's not nearly have the same availability.
No shot. So they do need another big. But they're going to be good anyway.
They're going to be better than they were last year.
Yeah.
If we're going to get to that part.
For sure.
If we get healthy Randle.
Yeah, I think it'll be quite a bit better than they were last year. Full season of OG with the team. Like, Bridges on his own is huge. Robinson might be healthier because he missed like 40 games last year. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, with Robinson, I feel like he's kind of like, he reminds me of Rob Williams in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And that's just like, I'm not going to guess any amount of games played for him. Mm-hmm.
They play so similar.
Yeah.
Defensive guys.
Pretty athletic, but like they don't really show it on the offensive end, but they really show it on the defensive end. Yeah, I think they're both second round picks. Like,
oh,
great.
Nice.
Yeah. Great defensive centers. But yeah, they need another big man. But big man can be had. Big man are not tough to get. On to Brooklyn, the other team that made the trade with them. They haven't done anything since the trade either. Shake Milton was added to the trade, who's coming into there. So you would imagine that he's going to be their backup point guard, barring anybody that I can't think of. Because you'd think Schroeder is still going to start.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Shake Milton is not the same guy he was a few years ago.
No, they're going to be ass. They're going to be, I would put the house on them winning less games than they did last year.
Oh, for sure. Well, you were, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or you were just saying it to me, but you think they have, they'll be in the running for a worst team, like, period.
Like in the NBA?
In the record.
Yeah. Oh, I think they, I would assume that they're going to be the worst team in the NBA next year. Who knows? And like, Right. Sorry, that's a bit of disrespect to Washington. Washington, I respect your game. You're going to be really ass next year too. You had finally you had a good young player in Denny Avdia who turned the corner, and you traded him for like nothing. Yeah. I guess like Malcolm Brogdon and like a first in the future, which is kind of a nice trade. But also, like, are you guys ever going to be good again?
Right, exactly. Like, I mean, yeah, and the hope is Brogdon's another first, and one of those two firsts is better than Avdija, but yeah.
Yeah, they're... Brooklyn's going to be so bad, and like Washington's going to be so bad, and they're going to be both at the bottom of the East the whole... If the Raptors are worse than one of those teams, I'm...
Okay.
No worries.
Those two teams, for sure, because like there's like a world where worse than Detroit.
Sure. Yeah, we'll get to Detroit. We'll get to Detroit. Yeah, there's a world where we're... Or like Charlotte. Like,
yeah.
Charlotte... Honestly, if I had to pick between those two teams, if you were to tell me that LaMelo Ball plays 80 games next year, I think it's close. But I, like, if you were to just give me average LaMelo Ball injury history, then like obviously I'd pick the Raptors. But we'll see. On to a really, 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 really fun team, Philadelphia.
Ooh. Oh, this is the reason Boston won't be three-peat.
Facts. Philadelphia. First we'll talk about what is gone from their roster, because it is
more than you think.
It is a lot. It's Tobias Harris, De'Anthony Melton, Buddy Hield, Nick Batum, and Mo Bamba. I don't know why I have Mo Bamba on here. He doesn't play. Tobias also, Harris, like, De'Anthony Melton, from Buddy Hield.
My way of seeing the screen, I thought you wrote Mo Bamba twice. I kind of forgot Nick Batum.
Yeah, Nick Batum was like playing like he was good for them in the playoffs.
He was
low key. Yeah, that's a lot.
Were they in the play-in this?
Yeah, last they year? Were. They played.
He had a great play-in.
He had a really. I think he had like 30. In yeah, the play-in, if yeah. I'm not mistaken,
he like won them the play-in.
But in the door for them is Paul George, Andre Drummond, and Eric Gordon. Pretty good.
Pretty good
to get Paul George in the door.
Andre Drummond, fantastic backup center, and. Paul George, you know, Kawhi wasn't going to go to the Clippers unless they got Paul George. And he's on a brutal contract. He's going to be 38, getting paid like 40-something.
Bro, the end of that contract 50? Is a it's nightmare. Some importance, I think, right? Yeah, but he's properly paid in this first year. And maybe even in the second year.
Yeah,
that's when they're going to be trying to win a championship.
And honestly, like, shout out Kenny, because he said it so well, and I so agree. This, like... You have a window to compete of Joel Embiid in his prime. You don't care about paying Paul George 4 years down the road if as long as you can get him now. And that's what the contract is. So even though it's going to be bad later, to have a Paul George who's still a really good player, we'll get to it on our next episode when we talk about our top 50 players.
Mm-hmm.
And to have him beside Embiid and Maxey, where Paul George is basically like the third option, honestly. And, like, that is a fantastic spot to have him. And especially, like, with him and Maxey, where it's, like, so fluid, like, either one of them to be first. Like, honestly, it sounds like a better version of, like, the Giannis-Middleton-Holiday thing that was going on a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll start with, I have a lot of bad about this. I'm kind of a doomer about this in general. I wouldn't say I think it's bad. I would say I am worried.
No, there's a hella risk.
Team. The good is, I think, as you said, like, if Paul George agrees to be the third guy on this team, like, holy shit, man. He's mm-hmm. Tobias Harris on steroids.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's, like, it's just insane. It's very reminiscent of when they brought in Jimmy Butler to play with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Right.
Exactly. And that's basically the best that this Philly team's ever looked. That's mm-hmm. the best iteration of them. Andre Drummond, like, very low-key, like, just been a great backup center the last few years. Yeah. I mean, he just gobbles rebounds. And, like,
I'm surprised a team hasn't tried to make him a starting center, which I don't think would be successful. But I can't believe some team didn't try it.
Yeah, like, what was the last, like, when his Lakers stint would have been the last time that a team seriously tried to start him, which was, like, 3 years ago now, probably.
Wasn't Dwight still on that team, though, starting?
Maybe. No, I don't think so, because Dwight's backup is DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, right.
And Eric Gordon is nice.
A dude well past his prime.
Yeah, my thing about Eric Gordon is if they plan to have him as their starting shooting guard,
Yeah, like, he did not look great. He looked fine.
Yeah, but if he's their sixth man, he's serviceable. Yeah, I mean, like, the campaign, what he did for them last year, he'll do a better job than that.
Did you see campaign, speaking of, the getting arrested?
Yeah.
What an idiot. He gave a fake name. Like, yeah, he's, like, he's not a Googleable person. Yeah.
Also, your campaign, like, he looks like he is a distinct looking man.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think he has a quote. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not saying it verbatim, but it's something like, "If you want to arrest me for giving a fake name, go ahead." And they went ahead.
Yeah. Back to Philadelphia.
And Eric Gordon.
I just don't know who the starting two or the starting four is going to be. Because if Eric Gordon's the starting two and B-Ball Paul is the starting four, that's so tough. And, like, Oubre can maybe be the starting two. Here's my thing. You need somebody who can defend two through fours. Because if Paul George is your only main defender of that position, he can be the best defender on your team for that. Yeah. That's taxing him a lot in the regular season.
Well, yeah, and he could easily be the two and Oubre the three.
Yeah, for sure. But I would like for there to be one more defender in that starting lineup anywhere. Like, any kind of defender in that starting lineup. And then, other than that, I mean, you're really rolling the dice on what's the last postseason that both Paul George and Joel Embiid were fully healthy for the whole postseason?
Fully healthy, like, fucking never.
Yeah. And so that's also a little bit worrying. But on paper, this is fantastic.
Yeah, because wasn't Paul George injured the year we won in 2019? Because that's, like, the last healthy Joel.
That's MVPG.
Because
he gets waved off the floor. He's defending Dame in his last playoff moments.
So then that's the last time.
Yeah, okay.
2019.
Yeah, I mean, if they're both healthy for the playoffs, and if they can add one more plus defender at the two or the four, then they're a legit scary championship contender. Yeah, I mean,
and they still have potential moves to make.
For sure.
They haven't, like, it's not like they threw everything to get Paul George. Like, they still have assets to trade.
Yeah, and I've heard people like the guy that they brought in, who could be a two guard, as their draft pick. They said good value, but he was, like, the 16th or 17th pick. And, like, as much as everyone was like, "I love this pick now," like, if you slide to 16 or 17 in the 2024 draft, there will be good players, but it's, like, you're blindfolded throwing at a dartboard, really.
So you're hoping he's, like, Brown from the Nuggets? Basically.
Yeah, because, like,
what's the guy's first name?
Christian. Yeah, that's, like, the normal high watermark of that. Because I think, like, Philly fans might try and talk themselves into maybe he's Jaime Jaquez.
Oh, right.
And
right.
I would just be worried about thinking like that about a rookie. Anyway, that's enough Philly talk. I think that they will be better this year because Joel will be healthier. Paul George is great to add to this team no matter what's gone. And, like, I feel like Maxey's still pretty young. Like, there might be another jump in Maxey. And if that happens, like, that, all bets are off. If Maxey makes another genuine jump, then it's, like, this Paul George shit might not even fucking matter. It's right. Like, they might have two, like, if they have two of the 10 best players in the league, like, whatever, who cares?
And, like, by the end of that New York series, Maxi was looking like that.
He was looking great. Yeah, he was looking really freaking good. So if he makes another jump, all bets are off. They're going to be better this year. What do you think?
I mean, almost certainly, like, just the fact that Joel Embiid, that you imagine, will be healthier.
Mm-hmm.
I almost hope that he doesn't play as much. Like, looking back on it, I cannot believe the way he got injured. Like, he looked so terrible in, like, 3 games in a row. Like, and you know what it was? He gets too caught up in narratives. I think that was right around the time where people are like, he is still ducking Jokic. He has not played Jokic in Denver in this many days. And, like, I get it. That's really bad. And he should have just played that game and then missed all the others. But I think he over wanted to prove it, and he started just playing way more. And he got hurt for, like, such a stupid reason. It pissed me off in retrospect. So I'm hoping they are way more careful with Joel, which, like, you imagine at this, like, they should have been doing that shit 2 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, like, there's no reason not to let manage him. He shouldn't be playing back-to-backs.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't need to make an All-NBA team.
And Paul George should be load managed for that matter.
Yeah, and then you give Maxi and this 17th pick star more minutes.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, listen, like, Oubre on any given night can give you some real offense. And if you want to sit Joel Embiid, I'm not saying Drummond's a great starting center, but you could do a lot worse. Like, yeah. We had Jonte Porter as our center for times last year. You could do a lot worse. That guy was legitimately getting paid to play back. He was throwing games for money.
It does not get worse than that.
Which makes a lot of sense in retrospect. On to the Detroit Pistons. New home of Tobias Harris and Tim Hardaway Jr. And they got 2 seconds in. And all that they've lost so far is Quentin Grimes and James Wiseman. Right. Wiseman is... Who cares? Literally, who cares? I don't. Do you care?
No.
James Wiseman's own mother might not care about what... She might not know what team... Oh, he left the Warriors? Damn. Quentin Grimes, it's been a couple of years. I think that there still is somewhere deep within him a serviceable bench player, but who cares? Whatever. And then Tobias Harris and Tim Hardaway Jr. is really freaking nice. Two vets who can score the ball on a team that's offense was really bad last year.
Yeah, I mean, two dudes who, like, both fan bases were kind of sick of, but mm-hmm. from their previous teams. I don't know what the deal is with Tim Hardaway Jr. I know Tobias Harris is better than he was in the playoffs last year. At least I have a lot of faith. I have much more faith in Tobias Harris. I think Tobias Harris is a pretty good pickup.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tim Hardaway is kind of just done at this point in my eyes. But Tobias Harris is a great asset for them. He's going to, and, like, especially on a trash team like that, like, he's going to look like a star. Like, we've been seeing him on, like, a team contending for a championship, and he's been disappointing. But when it's, like, the complete opposite expectations, I think he's really going to show up.
Yeah, I bet you he's over 20 points per game this year.
Yeah.
I like him a lot more as your kind of, like, why is this guy on an ass team? He's kind of a solid vet guy than Bogdanovich was for them in the past. Because the thing with Bogdanovich is a lot of his catch-and-shoot stuff and, like, not fantastic defensive versatility means that he really should be playing a small role on a good team and not in a big role on a bad team. It kind of falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how Bruce Brown looked on us last year. But then, like, Tobias Harris is such a has a relatively deep bag for a role player, and so that'll be nice for a team like that. That, like, I mean, like, if you need somebody to go create a shot, like, he's going to be their second option for that, which is really nice.
And, like, way better than Cade's ever had. Like, it feels like it's always just, like, Cade has to bail them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know that you don't agree. Jeremy Grant was pretty good when he was on that. Like, and by pretty good, I mean, like, all right, when he was there. But, like, since Cade became Cade. That was before Cade,
though. They played together?
Yeah, Jeremy Grant's last year there and Cade's first year.
Oh, okay.
Overlap. Yeah, Tobias Harris will be nice. Tim Hardaway Jr. hopefully comes off the bench in a perfect world. Because if they run Jaden Ivey off the bench, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think Detroit will be better this year because it's hard to be worse than they were last year.
It's going to be real hard to be worse. We got to say some teams are going to get worse, but yeah. Have we been saying
it? We said Brooklyn would be a lot worse.
Oh, you're right.
We said marginally like worse.
Yeah, you're right. We're good.
We did say marginally worse for Boston.
Uh-huh.
Now on to Cleveland. They haven't done anything, but they did re-sign Donovan Mitchell, which is big.
It's huge.
It's
kind of surprising. But that's, I think I said it on one of our earlier podcasts, that that's just kind of the meta that's sort of shaping up, where like, I don't expect him to fulfill this contract in Cleveland. I expect at this point, at some point, this contract to get traded.
Yeah, you don't think the writing was kind of on the wall for him to stay in Cleveland when New York splurged for Bridges?
True. True. True.
Because I've never really heard any other teams have serious, like, serious conversations about him. Other than, honestly, Brooklyn and New York.
Yeah.
And both those teams have don't need him for completely different reasons.
Right.
Like, Brooklyn's the team to watch 2 years from now. When we get to the point that you were just talking about, a couple years into this contract, right, where he's close to the end and he wants out, because maybe at that point Brooklyn's done something and they've got a lot of picks.
Like, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's kind of crazy that we haven't heard that. Like, why are we hearing about DeRozan to the Lakers when instead of Donovan Mitchell to the Lakers?
Yeah, like Dame Lillard to the Miami Heat last year was huge. Like, everyone was talking about it. And Donovan Mitchell to Miami, I feel like I never heard.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. Even Philadelphia, before they got Paul George, like, I mean, they had tons of cap space. They could have worked around some of their picks. They had enough picks to move for him, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think I heard some people say that maybe they could, but nothing, like, serious.
Yeah, no, for sure not. But yeah, Cleveland, we can keep it kind of short with them. I think that, they're a tough team.
Because they were okay last
year. Yeah, they were okay last year. I think that the East...
I think they'll be marginally worse.
Yeah, I think the East is a bit past them by. Yeah. Not completely, but it's a little bit past them by. Especially because, like, teams like Indiana and Orlando are only going to be better. Like, that's tough. speaking of Indiana, they gained James Wiseman and lost Jalen Smith. So their roster is pretty much looking the same. Their big free agent acquisition was trading for Pascal Siakam halfway through last season. That was
also just extended or re-signed?
Resigned. Or I think, his contract ended after last year.
Okay, so yeah, resigned.
Indiana, I think we can skip any talk. There's no big picture stuff about them. I think Indiana will be better this year because I think that pushes the conference finals.
And a full year of Pascal.
A full year of Pascal. And I think Nembhard is ready for a jump, and I think Mathurin's going to be healthier, and they just have too many young players for none of them to make a jump.
Worse for some reason.
And Hallie looked obviously hurt for half of last year. So now on to Chicago. They got Jalen Smith, as we talked about earlier. They got Josh Giddey. They lost Alex Caruso. They also lost Andre Drummond. They're probably going to lose DeRozan. The talks switched pretty quickly when they made the Caruso for Giddey trade from DeRozan being like, I want to stay here, to DeRozan being like, all right, I'm going to look at other options. I see
where this team's headed.
I love that for Chicago.
Well, I mean, it's their first trade since Vucevic. And I think, like, after the first year of DeRozan, they all loved that year. But then ever since then, they've been clamoring for a rebuild.
That's the nice thing about this Caruso Giddey trade is it cannot be worse than the Vucevic trade. Because if you're Chicago and you're looking at Franz Wagner right now, it's like,
right,
damn. Even Wendell Carter, it would be like not that much of a downgrade from Vucevic.
And like, Vucevic got them DeRozan. But I think at this point, they would much rather have Wagner.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, I think Wagner and Carter Jr., like, yeah, it's just, I wouldn't say they get you more wins than those two. I think they probably generate a comparable amount of wins, especially because, like, Wagner was, like, low-key not that good last year. He was, like, good, but not as good as people thought.
Also, DeRozan was amazing that first year.
Yeah, for sure. He was, like, all-NBA guy, 28 points per game, at least so many clutch shots. He was for sure all-NBA. Oh, wow. Yeah, I was looking at his basketball reference pretty recently. One of, I think, three. He made it a couple times with us, too. Chicago. I think they're going to be worse this year, and that's good.
Good for them.
That's good. Join us. Join Toronto and Washington. Toronto, Washington, Chicago, like, two seasons ago. In Brooklyn, we were all kind of in the same, like, oh, what are we doing? What are we doing? And we all were like, wait a minute, we're ass. And so we all decided to be bad. Thank God we have Scotty Barnes.
Exactly. Look at those teams. Like, they did not have that kind of player.
Yeah, for sure. Unless you're really, really high on
Kobe White.
Kobe White. Josh Giddey.
Oh, Josh Giddey.
On the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks haven't lost anyone as of yet. They have tons of free agents still in the air. They've brought in Torian Prince and DeLon Wright. Torian Prince is a upgrade on what Jay Crowder gave to them last year as a three maybe even a two, to play around Middleton when Middleton's hurt or play on the floor with Middleton. They need to replace Beasley or re-sign him for just another dude of that ilk. And DeLon Wright is a slight but not that big downgrade on Patrick Beverley as a backup right. point guard who can give you some defensive zest. You know? Yeah,
Has Patrick Beverley signed?
He has not signed with anybody yet, but he has a service suspension at the beginning of next year, doesn't he? Because he got suspended at the end of the playoffs, and hasn't started any games. That was
definitely in their last game.
Milwaukee. I think that they're gonna be
better.
I think that they're gonna be worse this year, and I know that last year was messy, and I know that they're gonna have a full year of Dame working his way
Full year of Doc Rivers,
and all that.
He gets regular season wins. That's one thing he does.
Milwaukee's up 3-1 on Philadelphia next year. Like, how much faith do you have? Or like New York, or like one of those guys.
That's all we're talking here. And I do think this is like legitimately hard for like a coach to come in midway through the year. Like, it seems crazy. Like, no prep. Also, like, I heard him talking on a podcast where he was like, he was telling people, yeah, like, I'm not gonna sign with a team. And then when the Milwaukee thing happened, it opened up. Then, like, he wasn't even thinking about coaching, like, 2 weeks before he got the job.
Yeah. He also said on a podcast that Damian Lillard was, like, in bad shape last year. He's going to be in good shape this year.
Right, same pod.
I don't really know. We will see.
Well, apparently that came from Dame himself.
I think, yeah, whatever, man. Okay, Dame. Damian... Oh, if Portland actually adds to this roster, I'll stick around. And then they give Jeremy Grant a fat contract to be like his co-star. And he's like, that's not good enough. I'm going to leave anyway. But yeah, Milwaukee, I think they'll be a little worse. We can disagree on this one. That's fine. You know, I think once this is another team, I think the East has kind of passed by a little bit.
Okay.
I think that they're the fourth best team in the East. That's my Gage Jones hot take.
The fourth best team in the East with the best player in the East.
That's crazy, man. I know. It sucks. It sucks. But it is what it is, you know? All right. On to Washington. Washington brought in... They lost Denny Avdia, as we clowned them for earlier. and they brought in Jonas Valanciunas, Malcolm Brogdon, a first, a couple seconds. Tidy work. Good job.
Yeah. Picks are nice when you're rebuilding. Jonas is probably going to get flipped, right? You'd imagine? Maybe they just keep him, whatever.
I think they keep... No, he's a free agent. They would sign him. Yeah. So I think that they're going to run him with Alex Starr as their big man, which is nice because their big man last year was Marvin Bagley, who, like, was looking better towards the end of the season. But, like, players who look good on really bad teams like that at the end of years are very scary.
Especially when people are getting shut down.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't trust Delano Banton, and I would say he looked about as good as Marvin Bagley did at the end of last year. He probably looked better than Marvin Bagley did at the end of last year. If Brogdon sticks around on that team, maybe he's their backup point guard. What are they doing, man? Like, they're just going to be bad. They're waiting for Flag.
That's what they're doing, literally.
You might be able to get two first-round draft picks from Valanciunas and Brogdon if you play them in important positions and have them just put up empty stats all year. And I feel like that's what you got to hope for.
Yeah.
If you can get one first for those guys combined, or those guys, one of them, I have some faith that Valanciunas could maybe get you a first. Brogdon, we'll see. He has a bad habit of just getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, he's had one healthy season the past 10 years, which he did win Sixth Man of the Year and was on a very good... like Boston Celtics team, but I don't know. I think Washington will be. They won 15 games last year.
Yeah, they were barely better than Detroit.
I think they'll be marginally worse.
Yeah, like, but about as bad.
Yeah, you can't get that much worse. And then, as I said, I think Brooklyn will be the worst team. Sorry, Washington, but you're not going to win that this year. You just got screwed by one game last year, and they get screwed. Because last year they were racing. Like, them in Detroit towards the end of the season were, like, neck and neck for worst team. It looks like, for a little bit, like Detroit was somehow going to go on a 28-game losing streak and not be the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
But then it didn't happen. Didn't work out for the Detroit boys. On to Charlotte. Brought in Reggie Jackson, Josh Green, lost 3 seconds. If LaMelo is healthy this year, they're going to be good. Like, and by good, I mean as good as Charlotte can be, 35 wins. And 35 wins in the East can get you into a playing spot. And if Brandon Miller takes a jump and LaMelo is healthy and they bring back Bridges and their big men make jumps, they could be like a 40-win team and get to play two play-in games possibly. realistically, they're going to be fighting for that 9, 10, 11, 12 spot all year. But I do think they'll be better because I think LaMelo Ball will play more than 30 games.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, if he does. I don't think they're going to be a play-in team. But, yeah, I mean, whatever, they could be. I'll say the, I don't know, they were really bad last year, too.
Yeah, really bad.
Yeah, they'll be a little better.
Nice. And now on to Atlanta. Once again, we're at an interesting team. They traded DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
And AJ Griffin for Larry Nance, Dyson Daniels, and two firsts.
How many firsts did they give up for Murray? Wasn't it like
three?
Four? Oh, it was only three.
Three, okay. Yeah. So it's a
one first lost. We get 2 years of him.
But you also get Dyson Daniels, who I would value more than a first if that first was in this exact year's draft, but maybe not a future first. I like Dyson Daniels as a bench guard, and they do need somebody to play 2 minutes and play defense with Sadiq Bey going to be out all year this year. I like Larry Nance as a player on their team.
And don't you like Larry Nance more than Dyson Daniels?
No. Okay. No, I like Dyson Daniels more, especially because he's quite a bit younger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
I like picking up firsts because it gives you some versatility. Zachary Risichev. Obviously, they thought he was the best guy available in the draft. For as bad as the draft was, if you get the first pick, like obviously your team thinks he's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. You'd imagine. Yeah, they could have picked literally anyone.
Trae Young is good. Jalen Johnson could maybe make a jump, but they feel like a whole lot of mid for another year this year.
It also feels like they're just, like, I don't know. It feels like they're steady getting worse. Like, I think DeJounte Murray is better than
the sum of his parts.
Yeah, than what they're getting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, ever since that conference, it feels like this team is worse than every team since they made the conference finals has been worse. And that was kind of fluky.
Yeah. So my thing is you look at Risichev first year and you're like, does he look an average first overall pick? And if he does, then we're good. But if he looks like a failure and a bust, then you probably trade Trae Young at the end of next season.
Right.
And then you'll get even more stuff for him. And then you'll have a bevy. Like, you'll probably get three firsts for Trae Young. But like, people think that Trae Young has no trade value. But like, whenever a team pulls the trigger on him, I guarantee you it's going to be three firsts.
Maybe more. If Atlanta gave three firsts for Murray, if a team is that as dumb as Atlanta, they'd have to give up
three straight up firsts. There could be five firsts, including swaps and stuff. Maybe four firsts. Yeah, like they're going to get a lot of picks for that.
Yeah, people want Trae Young.
And so, yeah, this Risichev thing is very, very important for them. I think that they will be about the same this year. I think, you know what, I really don't want to be an optimist. How can they be better without Murray? Trae was hurt at the end of last year.
More time with Trae on the ball might be just be better.
You know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm going to say they win 43, 44 games, and Trae is in genuine talks for third-team All-NBA at the end of the season.
For MVP.
Good old Atlanta Hawks.
If you told me Risichev was All-NBA team, then I'd have an MVP.
If Risichev is a 20 PPG guy year one, this team is fine. And if he's and if he's not, they're fucked. Like, that's the margins for me, the Atlanta Hawks. Onto a happier team, the Orlando Magic. Lost Joe Ingles, so they're fucked. But they've Ryan
Jingle and Joe.
They've Ryan Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
And they re-signed that crazy defender.
Yeah, the Minister of Defense.
That's right. Yeah,
Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, every time I see him, he seems like he's the best defender in the world. I don't watch like a ton of Orlando games, but he seems like, I guess it wasn't that crazy. He was really good in the playoffs too. Yeah, to me, he's one of the best defenders in the league.
He's a really good defender, really, really good. No offensive game to speak of, but who cares? Missed like 3 years with injury, so he's like a Lonzo Ball, good, like kind of, you know.
Interesting.
Because I remember like he was supposed to be really good, and he had tons of potential on that team. And then he had an injury, and then he had a setback, and then he had another setback. They basically built his knee from scratch, like they did with Lonzo Ball, and like now he's back to just being a good defender again. So that is the Lonzo Ball blueprint. Yeah, I mean, I love picking up KCP for this team.
Yeah, that was we'll get to the Nuggets, but I can't believe it. They lost KCP. They're another team withering away from how good they were, similar to how I was talking about Atlanta.
For sure. I mean, like, KCP's great. He's gonna, Orlando needed more three-point shooting.
Yeah.
They were abysmal desperately in that Cleveland series from three. KCP's going to be good for that. He's a great defender for defending guards. Like, he's going to be able to defend the primary guard and the other team.
Legit
like,
three.
Orlando is, like, one.
I mean, also, they're just so young. So, like, even if their team was identical, you'd imagine they'd be better.
Yeah, for sure. I would say they're one, like, star-level point guard away. And then probably, like, 2 years of Paolo. Not
Trey,
this year.
Add Trae Young.
Like, if they add Trae Young and then Paolo, like, next year, I think that they're going to be contenders sooner rather than later. The stuff that Paolo showed me in the playoffs was really, really good.
Facts. Paolo is him.
Yeah, that's a first overall pick success story. Yeah.
Which we get all the time. That's how it is recently.
For sure. Yeah, like, the last first overall pick who was even a bit disappointing was DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and he made a conference finals and a finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's also
he was carried
1 year after Markelle Fultz, who's a dumpster fire of a first overall pick.
Similar to Jon Isaac, right, with all the injuries?
Yeah, for sure. Except he never really, like, Markelle Fultz still hasn't been picked up by a team. And I was just saying that, like, Orlando needs a point guard, and, like, that's not your guy.
they had him, right?
Yeah, they did have him. I wouldn't bring him back.
Work out.
I wouldn't bring him back if I was them. If you have no other option, I guess. But anyway, Orlando's going to be better. They're young.
Yeah,
I like KCP. Sure.
I mean, I don't know. Like, at one point, they went on a crazy run in the East, and maybe that was, like, a little bit of luck, but no, you'd imagine they got to be better.
Well, here's the thing. They started off the season really hot, and they looked really good in the East in season tournament, and then they kind of were slowly dripping down throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the season, they went on, like, a second run,
right,
which is what makes you think, like,
a little mini one.
Yeah, maybe. And then they looked great against Cleveland. Mm. And, like, that Cleveland team was not the Cleveland team that Boston played, because Donovan Mitchell was fully healthy and playing, like, a superstar in that series, and Paolo was basically going toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, facts.
Really fun series in retrospect.
That one's seven?
Yeah, that one's seven.
Only one, right? First round?
Yeah, I think so. On to Miami. They brought in, how much, what are we looking at for time here? Okay, we got to zip through some teams. Miami, we don't need to talk about much. They brought in Alec Burks, they lost DeLon Wright. Maybe you think Alec Burks is better than DeLon Wright? Maybe you don't. I think they're pretty comparable as, like, a backup guard. I think this Miami team is going to be worse because this Jimmy Butler stuff is really, really scary. And I just think, like, they're
Pat Riley straight up said he's going to trade, right?
Yeah, but I don't, like, he hasn't been traded yet. I guess there's a lot of offseason to go. I think that they'll be worse. I think they're going to trade Jimmy. And I think that...
I think they'll be much worse.
I think that when we talk about the East passing by teams, I think Miami's the biggest version of that. When the East was, like, was, like, kind of weak, it was nice for Miami to kind of prey on teams that, like, didn't really have any backbone.
Yeah.
But, like, New York has backbone, and Boston has backbone, and Milwaukee has Giannis, and...
Does Boston have backbone? Did they just coast to a finals that ever really face a competition? Hard to say that.
Boston has way more championships than Miami does in the past 10 years.
Yeah, sure.
They actually win when they go to the finals. Imagine that.
Less championships than, like, the last 20, or tied in the last 20 years.
Imagine that. Miami.
Winning in the
finals?
Actually
getting to the finals and winning? Whoa, what a novel concept. What a crazy, crazy world.
I thought you just play your conference and that's it.
Yeah, I thought the conference finals. I thought that the Larry Bird conference finals MVP was better than the finals MVP, in my opinion.
The Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Another shelf.
But yeah, Miami can probably be worse this year. And that's the East. That's the East for us. Let's go on.
We're only halfway done.
I know. Should
we just do the West in a different episode? Because didn't you want to do another segment?
We can rip through the West.
Okay, we can rip through the West.
Not Dallas, though. Dallas will give some time to bring in Clay. Crazy, 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 crazy. And we'll get to Golden State eventually. But, like, Clay, Najee Marshall's another big pickup. It's a little worrying to lose Derrick Jones Jr. On the defensive end. And I have some real questions about whether you can play Kyrie and Luka and Clay at the same time. But I just think this is a talent upgrade. And I think Clay fits with both of their guards. I think they'll be marginally better this year.
I hate that you're trying to steer this conversation away from the fact that Klay Thompson had 0 points in a closeout game. Classic meme. I really, honestly, like that meme's overdone, but I do think Klay's a little washed. I think his is not that much better than Derrick Jones Jr. Like, how the way Derrick Jones was playing last year and the way Klay was playing last year.
Yeah, I think Najee Marshall's a lot better than Tim Hardaway Jr., though.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
I like Najee Marshall.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, especially last year, Tim Hardaway Jr., for sure.
Yeah.
I think Clay is well past prime. I don't think he can defend anymore. I think he can still shoot really well. And maybe for that reason alone, that is better than Derrick Jones, especially on that team. Mm-hmm. Like, even when people were, like, hyping up Derrick Jones shooting, he was, like, 35, 36.
Yeah.
Like, Klay Thompson will be, like, damn near 40-point percent shooter.
Yeah, I mean, like, if his shot selection's good, it's going to be great. And if it's bad, then it's going to have a lot of the same problems I had Golden State the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. But I do think that they're better because of it. Are they better enough to beat the class of the West? I mean, they beat them last year.
Yeah,
but OKC and Minnesota are both very scary, and playing them both in back-to-back playoff series again, I would assume that they would lose to one of those teams.
I think they lose to Denver too. I think they actually have a better chance against Minnesota than all those teams. I think OKC and Denver is such a bad matchup for them.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Good old Dallas. Houston hasn't really done much this offseason. They are going to be. I'm going to zag. I think they're going to be worse next year.
Well, they made, like, pick trades, which you don't have on here.
Yeah, well, like, who cares? It's, like, the draft.
Yeah.
They drafted somebody at three, who's a Reed Shepherd, who's a good three-point shooter.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to be bad until they get Kevin Durant in the trade deadline, and they're going to be really good.
Yeah, they need to trade for a star. Until they trade for a star, I think they're going to be disappointing.
Also, they kind of shouldn't with this team. I don't think they have – they're good. They're not a piece away yet.
I think you're rushing. No, but they have too many pieces, though. They need to consolidate in some way. I would go something younger than Kevin Durant or Jimmy Butler, though. I would wait until something juicier comes out. It would have been a good Donovan Mitchell team when that was still a bit of a deal.
But. Also, it's like, I know Sengun's really good, but like he's so ball dominant and doesn't do much off the ball. Like, is that really the piece you want to build around in your future?
No, I would trade him for the star. I'm building around Jalen Green and this guy.
Okay,
I like that. Anyway, on to San Antonio. They've brought in Chris Paul. Love it.
That's actually sick.
I love that. I like it a lot. I think he's almost certainly going to be trade deadline traded. I think Chris Paul wants to win a championship in the ceiling on the San Antonio.
But didn't he sign him, though?
Yeah.
I think he kind of wants to say that his legacy was, like, teaching Wemby. Like, he might... Like that's what this move showed, like, seemed like to me. As like someone who has no idea what Chris Paul is thinking.
Chris Paul, not very recently, during last season, was on the record saying that he's not going to retire until he wins a championship, and he does not have that many more seasons in him. So if he doesn't think he can win a championship this year, then like, yikes, man.
Okay, fair enough.
But I think him and Wemby will be really exciting for most of the year.
Oh my God. Wemby gets like literally one of the best point guards in history.
And like Chris Paul's old, but he could still create his own shot in a way that like, bro, like watching possessions die on the Sohan branch on like the Keldon Johnson branch or on like the Malachi Branham branch or on the Chetty Osmond branch or the Doug McDermott before he got traded or any player.
Any non-Wemby player.
Yeah. Like Devin Vassell is the only bright spot on that team other than him. And I think Chris Paul and Devin Vassell will be a nice shot creating backcourt for a team that I've heard a lot of people saying that they'll be like a play-in playoff team in the West. I don't really see it because I think the West is going to be really freaking good. But maybe it depends on how good.
Wemby is that guy. So maybe.
Yeah. I think that they will be better next year because you can't be that much worse.
Yep.
Memphis Grizzlies didn't gain anything, didn't lose anything. They're going to be better next year. They're going to have John Morant.
Also, like, we need to see what it looks like. They've been so ass without him, but and he hasn't played in a while, and they just don't have players, so we need to see it.
I love the Zach Edey pick, though. When they trade away Adams, they were like, we have no centers, and I was like, what are they going to do at center? And, like, I don't think Zach Edey is going to be, like, a star center, but, like, he's, like, NBA ready right now. The thing with Zach Edey is if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But like if Zach Edey is what he looked like in college, then he's NBA ready right away. Because size just translates. Like, and he's not
Thin. He with those types of players though, the players who just like are just bigger than everyone against college players. I don't know if that translates when you have to play against like grown men, but we'll see. Obviously they're gonna be better if Ja plays. So
yeah, for sure. And having more than 40 games from Desmond Bane, more than 20 from Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
I need to plug in my laptop. You want to talk about New Orleans?
So New Orleans, they're a big one. They got DeJounte Murray. They lost Valanciunas, Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, Najee Marshall, and two first-round picks. I think it's crazy that they were able to get Murray without losing Brandon Ingram. Apparently, the people, from what I've heard, they still want to trade Brandon Ingram, which, like, at this point, like, why? Like, this is a fucking great team. Like, And like having a real point guard is so awesome. Like back when they had like Lonzo Ball and he was just like throwing half court pass lobs to Zion, and it was like, holy shit, this is super fun. And it's like effective. Like you have like literally maybe the best lob finisher in the NBA, at least one of them. And now he has a real point guard. Like they're going to be really good.
I would trade Brandon Ingram still. You need to give minutes to Trey Murphy and Herb Jones, and you really would rather have the defense and spot up 3-point shooting of those guys than the shot creation of Brandon Ingram. And hopefully, you can trade Brandon Ingram for something that's good right now. Ideally,
but who's their three? Why can't Herb Jones start?
Well, it's probably
because it's CJ, it's Zion,
and Murray. It's Murray, CJ, Zion. Ingram, mm-hmm. Zion. And then they have to play at center. I don't want to play Zion at center.
Oh, I see your saying. Yeah, you're right. True.
And I just think Herb Jones and Trey Murphy coming off the bench is too... Like, one of those forwards you have to trade. Because it's just too much...
Overlap off the bench. You kind of want one of those in the starting lineup, so you're saying get rid of B.I.
Yeah, and they just don't have a center. Like, so, like, trade something for a center. Like, trade B.I. for, I don't know, Towns doesn't feel like it's going to happen. You've heard nothing about Towns leaving Minnesota, so... I don't know what the center is, but...
Aiden.
Aiden is interesting. Yeah, I don't mind it. They said that they want somebody you can shoot, too, and that would work. Because mm-hmm. you can shoot the mid-range. You can space the floor marginally. Shoot a little bit. You can shoot the mid-range very well. He was top 10 mid-range percentage last year.
Yeah, but like when I think they want a 3-point shooter, he cannot shoot threes.
No, but I think mid-range is enough with Zion. I think Zion puts enough rim pressure that having even the center a little bit out is fine.
Right.
Maybe if they want a defensive center, I think Nurkic.
Like what Hartenstein is doing in the playoffs, but just even a little further out.
Yeah, a little further out than Hart. Because Hartenstein has like the little push shot, like a little short midi. All right, I think New Orleans will be better this year. I like picking Shanta
for sure.
Lakers have gained nothing. Have lost Torian Prince. We talked about the coaching hire.
Why didn't you write LeBron James Jr. in the game?
The Lakers need a trade. This roster makes no sense if they actually want to contend for a championship. It's never going to contend as currently constructed. If Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell are your third through fifth best player, rank them however you want, you're not winning a championship ever. Ever, ever, ever in a million years. You could take LeBron. Actually, you couldn't. If you took LeBron back 10 years, you would win a championship. LeBron could be as good as he was last year, where he was fully healthy and an All-NBA player. AD can be as good as he was last year, where he had one of the best seasons mm-hmm. of his Hall of Fame career. And it's not going to happen. You need a trade. And unless you're fine being okay.
I think the D'Lo shit's over. Because, like, I don't know. He's not a complimentary type player to me. Like, he's like an off-the-bench type guy, and that's not what they need. They need a quality starter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they gotta do something. I don't like it. As currently constructed, I would say they're gonna be worse this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were playing, or they missed the plan last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. They're probably not missing the plan again. They're gonna.
Oh no, they were playing last year.
They lost the plan.
No, they won the plan.
Oh yeah, they got swept by Denver. Yeah. That's right, for sure.
Yeah, because they beat New Orleans in the first play-in game.
So yeah, they'll probably be worse.
Let's move across the city to the Clippers. They lost Paul George. They lost Mason Plumlee. Tough.
Really tough.
Tough. I actually kind of love all the players that they brought in, other than Kevin Porter Jr., who, like...
Why?
That's why.
Yeah, with a player option, too.
But like, Derek Jones Jr. and Nick Batum, I like bringing in. Yeah. Chris Dunn and Mo Bamba, who cares? I think that they're going to deal with the post-Paul George. Maybe I'm too much of an optimist. Maybe Kawhi is going to have another unhealthy year because he has them all the time, and last year he was weirdly healthy. I think that, like, with Kawhi and James Harden, they're going to be just fine, and maybe, just maybe, they've got another trade in them. I think that they're low-key fucked, but I don't think that they're... I don't think that they're...
I think they'll be better than the Lakers, but yeah, I don't think they're
right. Yeah, I do think they'll be worse than they were last year. I think if Harden and Kawhi are healthy, like, you're going to be a playing team. Like, I know, lots of good role players. Zubats is still good.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
They're not going to hit the goals that they want, but yeah, they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. New arena.
Yeah, actually, that's true. That's probably their most important thing, is just have as good of a season as you can. try and get some post-game games in this arena. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll probably do that.
So as for Phoenix, they lost Eric Gordon and Drew Eubanks and brought in Monte Morris and Mason Plumlee. Early championship favorites with Plumlee starting at the five.
That's huge for them.
That's really big for them. Like, legitimately, Plumlee is a marginal upgrade over Drew Eubanks as a backup center, which is nice, because the thing with Phoenix is that they're so ridiculously fucked by the cap that they can, like, you know, it doesn't really matter. like making small changes like that is the best they can ask for. And I think Monte Morris fits what they do better than Eric Gordon, just as, like, a table setter off the bench.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like they needed more spot up. Like, felt like Grayson Allen was, like, the best complimentary piece they had, because they already have, like, Bradley Beal and Devin Booker running the ball. So I think they're fucked.
The biggest deal that they made was we said the Clippers would be worse, right? We put that on the record. They are going to be worse.
Yeah, okay. We did.
The biggest deal that they made was re-signing Royce O'Neal, mm-hmm. which is nice. I think Beal's going to be healthier this year. I think Booker's going to be healthier this year. I think
Kevin Durant's going to be older this year.
And I think that they're going to be better this year is okay. My take on them. They were just above the play-in last year. I think that they could be better.
I'm going worse.
Okay. On to Sacramento. We'll see what they do with Lauri Markkanen. They gave up Davion Mitchell, Sasha Vezenkov, and a second for Jalen McDaniels, which was a purely cap-motivated move to stay under the luxury. Who cares? Second-round picks mean nothing, and if Davion Mitchell and Sasha Vezenkov are going to change your team, whatever. Sacramento, do you think they'll be better or worse this year? Assuming they don't get Markkanen. If they get Markkanen or DeRozan, I think that will be enough to make them a bit better. But.
Same team. So it's just, you're just seeing, like, has the rest of the West gotten better or worse? Probably better, so they'll probably be worse.
Yeah, I think they'll be a little bit worse. Yeah, their only saving grace is a Keegan Murray jump, but I lose a little more faith in that with each passing day.
Of course.
On to Golden State. They lost Klay Thompson. They lost Chris Paul. I loved what they picked up. They picked up Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton. This Golden State team is, I think that they're going to be a lot better this year. I think that they have a chance.
Like, this is actually, like, a really good move. You get rid of the two really old people for some people who still have game left.
Yeah, people were great. Like, Buddy Hield does what Klay Thompson is supposed to do.
Right.
And, like, Kyle Anderson is going to be, like, if Andrew Wiggins leaves or if Andrew Wiggins decides to fuck off, you've got another forward who, like, can just play defense and has been in tons of big games. And DeAnthony Melton is a very solid guard, like, off the bench.
Do you think the adjustment period, though, is going to be tough for them without Klay?
You know what makes that a lot easier? Is I think Kuminga's going to be really fucking good this year. I think Kuminga...
It's such a cool story. He was like, he complained to Steve Kerr, the coach, about, play me more minutes or trade me. And then he's like, all right, I'll play more minutes. And then he was really good. It was the right call, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of shows, is Steve Kerr even that good of a coach?
We'll see. I think they should trade Wiggins, because I think Kyle Anderson is the Wiggins replacement, and then you just trade Wiggins.
I think he's worse than Wiggins, but yeah.
But, like, I think the Wiggins thing is done. Like, because they held him out of the Team Canada camp to trade him, and I think if they held him out of the Olympics when his mom is an Olympian, and, like, he really openly wanted to play for Team Canada, and they're like, we're going to hold you out to trade you, and then they don't trade him, like, you're just asking for... Like, Golden State is the kind of organization that would do that, because, like, low-key, they kind of treat their players like shit.
They do.
I don't know. Even Klay. Like, if you treat Klay Thompson like shit, like, apparently he was asking, like, his last, like, ask from them was, like, 20 mil per year over 3 years, which, like... I get that you're, like, a second apron team, but you can't fucking figure out somewhere in your books, like, trade Wiggins to, like, keep Klay, and have him retire as a Golden State Warrior. And I get it.
Klay even he told Steph, don't ask management to, like, resign. Like, I don't want any favors, like, from you. I want them to do it on their own. And they didn't. And, I mean, the way they treated fucking Jordan Poole is, like, the most clear case of the way that they don't give a fuck. They care about one player on that team, and that's number 35?
Mm-hmm.
Number 35.
And a bit about number 23.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah, I mean, they defend him a lot.
Like, he's like this Monday Night Raw every time he hits the court, and, like, they're like, whatever, Red.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like when your like favorite wrestler does like a heel turn,
right? And you're like, I still. I guess
I'm just like into the bad guy now. I like kind of fuck these good guys. Like, whatever. On to Portland. Portland added at Denny Avdia, which I actually low key really like.
Yeah, that's cool.
The first that they gave up, I believe, isn't their own first. If it is, what are you doing? If it's not, who cares?
Yeah, it'd blow them out if it was their own. Honestly, if it is, like, good shit, Washington.
Yeah. Malcolm Brogdon, I think, has lost a lot of trade value by the fact that, like, he just didn't play for 50 games last year. And so, like, I like that pickup for them. And yeah. I think their young players are going to be better, and I think that they'll be a little bit healthier in general. Rob Williams will play more than the 6 games that he played last year, and I think that they are going to be marginally to lightly better.
Yeah, like, marginally better. They're going to be worse than, like, Houston, though, and we said, like, Houston might not
be playing. Yeah, but they could... They could be pushing 30, you know. They could do the Utah thing where they're kind of in it for half the year and then they just kind of give up at the end.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Speaking of Utah, they picked up Drew Eubanks, gave up Chris Dunn. If they trade Markkanen, which hopefully they do, because I want them to be bad and not be like kind of mid bad. I want them to be bad. But do you think
Markkanen is young enough where you can just have him and have a bad team?
Like, he just turned 27.
Oh, okay.
And like,
that's, I always think these 27 year olds so young.
That's Levine. That's young.
It's
not that young. Right. I mean, like,
he's in his prime now. Like, it's not like he's gonna hit it.
I would just pick up stuff for him. I mean, they have enough draft picks, so I'd probably lean towards young players that you've already seen. Unless you're Danny Ainge and you're a madman and you just want even more draft picks.
Yep. Which he might.
Maybe he does. Utah will be worse this year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
On to Denver. Yikes. They've gained 3 second-round picks, which is massive for a team that's trying to contend. And they've lost Reggie Jackson and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, which is massive for a team that's trying to lose games, apparently.
KCP is such a loss.
Man. I know, man. Like, Christian Brown's not going to do that for that.
No. Like, they need more moves, like, right now.
Yeah. And the West is so good. They're fucked, man. I'm so sad about Denver in general.
I mean, the next team that we're going to mention, I think, is straight up just better than them.
I think the next 2 teams that we have, we only have 2 teams left after this. I think they're both better than them.
Potentially.
Which is...
I don't know. The last one disappointed me so greatly last year. Maybe not.
But yeah, I'm worried about Denver. I'm worried. I'm worried, worried, worried. And like, Murray and Porter were both pretty healthy last... I mean, Murray actually wasn't even that healthy. Murray's never going to be healthy, though. Porter was pretty healthy last year, which who knows about that. I mean, like, Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic haven't missed a game in like 5 years, so hopefully that continues going, because like, bro, if Jokic misses like 30 games, like,
they'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah. If Jokic is healthy, which usually he is, they're going to be great. Yeah. Because Jokic is the man. But, like, they're going to be worse this year. And it's not even the regular season. You could take being regular season worse. That's fine. But, like, they have less playoff weapons. And that sucks.
I mean, they really need to make moves. Like, I think they will make moves. So, like,
Bruce Brown, return?
Honestly.
I don't think they have the cap to give us.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what they do. Yeah, they're pretty fucked. They also get, like... I know they've been bitching a lot about it, but they did really get fucked over by the second apron stuff. Like, they're like, we, like, drafted / traded for all these players, but, like, a lot of them, like, we've had in the team for a while. Like, why do we have to fucking get rid of all these people or else we can't sign shit?
Just go over the second apron.
I guess, yeah. Who gives a fuck about your mid-levels?
Yeah, like, fuck for it. Real. Actually. Fuck it. Like, you're not going to pick up somebody better than Kentavious Caldwell. If Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is the player who's going to, like, get you the mid-level by letting him go, how do you just fucking keep Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? Right. What's the last mid-level guy that was fucking Kentavious Caldwell-Pope
left? Right.
Like, he didn't get the mid-level starter. From Orlando. Actual, like,
quality starter.
Yeah.
That, like, teams want.
That's what I have to say about Denver.
They're lucky they have Jokic.
On to OKC.
This is the team that scares me.
They picked up Alex Caruso, traded Josh Giddey, which we already talked about. That's a huge. And they picked up Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yeah.
Which, like, honestly, at face value, like, $29 million per year for Isaiah Hartenstein. Like, if you were to just tell me just that on its own, I'd be like, what are you doing?
They can afford it.
We pay Jakob Poeltl $19 million. By the way, and like Isaiah Hartenstein, you could say he's better than Jakob Poeltl. Sure.
And but like, I don't even think that's true.
$10 million is a lot of money. And he's not going to start because Chet's going to start at the five, well, probably.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, maybe Chet goes to the four.
I don't love that. Unless they're playing against a team that does play two bigs. Like against Minnesota, I bet you see that sometimes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or that's, Denver.
Honestly, I kind of fuck with that lineup. You go like Shea, Caruso, Williams, Chet, and Hartenstein.
Yeah, I just think Dort's better than Hartenstein. So if you can play Dort and stuff, like against Dallas, like there's never in a billion years
do you play right that for sure, for sure.
But against Minnesota, you probably would play
the Denver Hartenstein too, just to get more bodies on Jokic. Like, yeah, the way Minnesota showed, like having a lot of centers on the floor is helpful.
For sure. Well, you don't think Christian Brown at the two is a little bit scary in clutch moments? Fuck me. The nice thing about it, too, is $29 million for a player who's not that important to your future when you have that many draft picks means that, like, if a star does come up that you want to trade for,
right,
you kind of don't really need to give up much. Yeah. You've got the cap right there, and you have tons of picks. And mm-hmm. the Hartenstein contract isn't bad enough that teams are going to be like, no shot, are we bringing that in?
Right.
Like, teams would bring that. It's only 3 years is the big thing. And $29 million is, like, a lot, but it's not – $29 million is baby food. We pay Emmanuel Quickly $35 million, and he was like a six man like December 28th of last year. Right. So like who cares?
Yeah, that's how the money is now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's gonna be so good, mm-hmm. too good.
It's might unfair. Be the best team in the league.
Fuck this! I hate this dumbass strategy. You're just constantly trading picks. But I mean, it's just effective.
Mm-hmm. Also, you were a very early adopter on Shaq.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, even, like, when they would, like, play Shea early in the year and then shut him down late in the year for fake injuries.
Right.
I remember I was always like, how good really is Shea? Because it seems kind of ass. And you're always like, no, I think he's really good. And you're just right. Like, he is just really, really good. Yeah, good for them. I think they'll have the best regular season record this year. That's my take on that. Because I think the Porzingis injury hurts Boston more than they would like. I mean, it doesn't matter in playoff time, and they don't care about the first seed. But
I still think they're in a harder conference, though. Even though the East has gotten better, I still think the West is like clearly the better conference, which is just going to be tough for a West team to have number one, unless like the top teams in the East are competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still put my money on Boston.
Okay,
I do think that like if I had to bet on a team coming out of the West, I'd take them though.
Sure,
they're fucking so ridiculous.
Now on to Minnesota. They lost Kyle Anderson. They lost Monte Morris. They brought in Joe Ingles. Losing Monte Morris, they made that trade with San Antonio where they brought in Rob Dillingham to be their backup point guard, who like was the eighth pick. Like he's supposedly going to be really good. They give up two future firsts for him, which I kind of like using your first on a rookie contract guy who's cheap when you have this many problems. I mean, it could really fuck you if Dillingham's not that good. But I liked a lot of what I saw from him. And the idea is, as I said before they made this move, like you need a point guard to take the reins from Conley sooner rather than later. Yeah. So bringing in a rookie and having them at the same time is kind of perfect.
Right. So you can see what Conley's doing.
Yeah, because Conley is like consummate professional vet.
100%.
Joe Ingles is definitely a downgrade from Kyle Anderson. But
majorly.
But Joe Ingles is a fun locker room guy, yeah, and I love Joe Ingles.
He's like their Garrett Temple, except he can kind of play.
Yeah, like if he's your like if he's your tenth man, you're fine. Like because you run eight man in the playoffs. Even if he's your ninth man, and he plays like half your playoff games, like every once in a while, come in for like 10 minutes to give you some threes. The only problem is like he's too much. He's running from 3-point line to 3-point line at this point, and running is like a stretch. By the way, I think OKC is going to be better this year.
Yeah,
I don't know if I said that out loud.
You said they were going to be the best team in the league.
I did. Minnesota, I think, is going to be worse this year.
Yeah, I think so too.
Not that much worse, but worse. And that's it. That's every team in the league.
Yeah, we did run through the West.
We ran through the West. Calls Dallas.
calls the KD Warriors.
Yeah. Run the West. Hey, man, Curry fans are going to lose their mind.
That I call the KD Warriors.
I have basically free agents left. Like, DeRozan's a big deal. Bridges is a big deal.
Mm.
Beasley's going to be really nice, whatever team he goes to. 40% three-point shooter. Caleb Martin's really nice. Tyus Jones is a backup point guard, and then things start to go off a cliff. Right. Isaac Okoro, low-key, shot 40% from three last year and still has really good defense.
Luke Kennard can still shoot.
Yeah, Cleveland should bring him back. Gary Trent Jr., hopefully we bring back. Marco Fultz, we'll see what happens with him. Maybe a team will take a chance on him. And Simone Fontecchio, who was one of my guys last year. Hopefully Detroit brings him back. But not a whole lot. None of those guys, I doubt any of those guys go to a team that wins a championship this year, because the championship teams all seem kind of done. And I don't think any of those guys are taking a minimum. Maybe like Gary Trent or Luke Kennard.
Yeah, I was gonna say Luke Kennard.
Playing the two for Denver, taking the KCP role.
Actually, maybe. That'd be sick for them.
Pick up the phone, Denver. Pick up the phone.
Well, they don't even need to call us. They can call him.
Yeah, but you still gotta pick up the phone and call Gary. Yeah.
I thought you were trying to get something out of it.
No. I want something personally out of it. Hopefully Gary Trent Jr., because like, I don't know if you guys know this, but like me and him share some initials, the GTJ connection,
that's true,
right?
That's true.
Even though J isn't really an initial, but like we don't count that. The GTJ connection's really there. So hopefully when Gary gets on the phone with Denver, he's like, yo, can you have Jokic show up at Gage's birthday party and bring two of his ponies?
One for him to ride, one for you.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. If I could ride ponies with Jokic, oh my God, man. That's the dream. Now to move on to some FIBA. I guess it's not FIBA. It's Olympic. Olympic qualifier. Yes. Not qualifier at this point, but like some prep games. I don't know if you saw the highlights of France playing Turkey, but there's this random Turkish center who's like...
France lost, right?
No.
Oh.
There's this random Turkish center, and he gets the ball under the net, and he goes up, and it's... Wemby on one side and Gobert on the other. And like he gets the Gobert body on him, and then he like pulls it back to take like some weird thing over Gobert, and Wemby sends that shit into like the 200s.
Oh, that's
like,
sick.
They are gonna be, and there's no 3 seconds. So they're both just waiting there for him. Right. Yeah.
That's like, awesome for them.
That team terrifies me. They're after
legit Twin Towers.
Yeah, like the teams that like legitimately terrify me is USA, the most terrifying.
Of course.
France, second most, and then Serbia. Because Serbia beat us at the FIBA World Cup. Right. And then they have Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, they did not have
Jokic. I don't know if you've heard of that guy, but he's pretty good. he's all right.
I saw Giannis had like 30 points in 18 minutes.
And Doncic had a triple-double. Giannis and Doncic, Slovenia and Greece are playing each other this Saturday morning. And the winner of that game plays the winner of another game, and then the winner of that makes the Olympics. So they're going head-to-head with an Olympic spot on the line. I will be watching that.
Damn, that's a sick game.
Later that game, Germany and France. Later that day is Germany and France. They play each other twice in the next 4 days. Those will be fun. And then USA versus Canada, July 10th, a little less than a week from now. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
France versus Serbia, July 12th. USA versus Australia, July 16th. July 17th is Australia versus Serbia. And then Serbia versus the U.S. And then France versus Canada, all back-to-back days, 16th through 19th. So there's some fun games going on. Like, basketball never stops. It's around the clock, you know?
Well, especially in a year like this, we get the Olympics, because then we get everyone playing.
Yeah, like Serbia versus France, I'm very excited for, because, like, Gobert and Wemby versus Jokic will be really fun.
That is sick.
And like Bogdanovich is kind of fun too. The Atlanta Bogdanovich and Jovic
Jovic and Jokic.
Yeah, it'll be and Jovic. Like I thought Miami fans were crazy with him, and then like in the playoffs, he was like okay when Jimmy wasn't there. I was like, huh, maybe he's a legit NBA player, not just a guy who's jokes because his name's close to Jokic's. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not in on him.
You know, you're out.
I'm out. I'm out on Jovic.
I'm a little bit in on Jovic. He kind of dragged me in. Maybe because I'm a Jokic guy, I'm like partial to that.
No, I'm gonna hashtag yo bitch.
Yeah, my yo bitch.
It's such a different hashtag than what I want to mean.
Yeah, that's about it. USA, we'll see if Embiid plays. If he doesn't, then their starting center will probably be Davis, which is tough.
Oh, no. They only have to have Anthony Davis.
And then they'll have to make a phone call to add somebody else to the team, which my guess, if they need another center, would probably be Plumlee for that starting spot. And I think that he gives you a lot of the same stuff that Embiid does, really.
Pretty much.
I mean,
pretty
like,
much pretty similar game.
Comparable scorer, comparable rebounder, comparable ball handler, defender. He's whiter. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, especially on those international floors.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I feel like, you know, the European players have it, so like... Oh, also, not to not end on Plumlee for once, but Bol Bol's playing for South Sudan, and he's going to be even funnier than Plumlee. Bol Bol is a hilarious man.